Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, May 22nd. Last week we ran a smaller memory card, and so we had to we lost part of the show. So we're going to repeat some of that and continue on from
Pressing,
there.
Like it is. According to God's plan at this point in time, if things were running a little bit better, vasopressin would, number one, be more abundant than it is in most of us, and number two, would have quinine hooked to it. Be a little bit heavier than we normally know it. But with quinine hooked to it, it would allow us to metabolize nitrogen out of the air and convert it directly into protein. Okay? It would allow us to be motivated into some other genetic mutations that take place down in the adrenals to jump 15, 20 feet in the air. And it would allow us to run at 30 or 40 miles an hour without getting tired, because it would increase the body's ability to carry oxygen. Because when you're taking, when the body is able to take nitrogen right out of the air, which is 70%, convert it directly into protein, you got something going for you. There's not too many people that can do that. But we could all be doing it right now if we'd listened to what was been going on. There have been people in the world all along that have been able to do this. One lady named Saint Teresa ate nothing.
Simplest way to get the amino acids.
Simplest way to get the amino acids. The best way is to get the colon clean, the the route that I've told you, and produce them yourself. There's no other way. You can put in some lysine and arginine, or you can go down and get the doctor to get you some vasopressin direct and put the hormone in. But the best way to do it is to wear the pyramid and get your body doing it naturally. Because when you substitute and just throw the stuff in, then the body's got no motivation to produce it anymore. So you're really not doing but putting off the inevitable at that point. That's what you're doing.
Does the several of the pyramids
do this? Uh-huh. Now she's getting wise. Uh-huh. The new ones will do this. The ones that we have now allow you to become normal again. Okay? The chrysilodome has the ability to do this because we use Virginia beach sand in it from Edgar Casey, and we impregnate that in liquid quartz, and it brings the vibration of Virginia beach, which has the healing characteristic on the body, to bring the body into that state of consciousness. Then we have, and I've worn one of these things. I wish I had one on right now, but I wouldn't be talking to you if I did. All I can say is wearing one, after wearing this and getting ready for it, it's like, imagine a donut-shaped cloud whirling, a cloud like this, a whirling cloud, okay? And on the other side of it is just blue lights and colors and all kinds of neat phenomena. Imagine grabbing that whirling cloud and bringing it down slowly on your head, pushing it down into your body, and going into this high place. That's what the feeling is, to me, wearing one of these things. We've only produced a few of them. Lawrence Kennedy's got them up in Lake Tahoe. Now, you can contact him if you want one. But he doesn't have the final version where we use the liquid quartz on it. His just has sand over a pyridome, and it's nowhere near the titanium version that I've worked up. We've built a few of those. And then we have the one that's beyond that, because now we know the science. We know the holy science, and we know the chemistry that goes behind it. We have another one called the Omega Dome, and that will be about a $1,000 pyramid if we can even produce it for a while. And it has diamonds impregnated into it, shot, blasted into the titanium. So you can imagine what that one will cost, and then it's balanced over quartz over that. Now, what that does is it causes the body to behave differently because of the action of diamond quartz in the power dome on the body, causes the body now, instead of just to secrete hormones and assimilate minerals, it causes the body to assimilate minerals and secrete hormones in a modified manner. Because the power dome, let's say the power dome were stimulating gold, okay, and we're stimulating silver, and the combination of gold and silver gave us an F sharp, you know, as a frequency, okay, in the brain. Now, let's say that we added the quartz and the diamond, and now we're picking up, let's say, this F-sharp here
We're on a middle octave. I don't know, you're a musician. What do you call different octaves? What's the middle range?
Middle octave.
It's a middle octave? Okay, this would be a middle octave F sharp.
Yeah.
Which would cause a thought of God, let's say. Now, let's say we add quartz and we add diamond. This will give us an F sharp, but it'll be an upper octave.
You get harmony.
Yeah, harmony, right. You get a lost chord effect at this point. So what happens is this causes a vibration in the endocrine system, which causes an uptake of guanine. This is another amino. So now vasopressin has been changed to something new. I don't have a name for it, because now it's lysine, arginine, and guanine. So now we've latched on and produced an entire new hormone in the body. Okay? That's what the new series of pyramids from Paradigm will produce. Now, at the same time, what we'll tell people to do is, I'm working on a protein powder right now that allows the protein to be in the body. It will come out probably in conjunction with this when the thing comes out. So now this happens in one organ. This happens in all the organs. So now you've got a whole new set of hormones that your body should have produced had it not been fighting the environment. But the pyramid now allows you to bypass the environment completely. And this, of course, then produces super physical feelings.
If you saw somebody going down the street with one of those things on, you'd say, my God, that person's got a psychic, this is an aura of sparks shooting off, because when the light would hit all the diamonds. They're not cut diamonds, they're uncut diamonds, and they're much prettier uncut than the cut ones. Yeah, that's called the Omega Dome. Yeah.
What significance has the diamonds? What do they do?
The diamonds cause you to, all of these pyramids cause you to metabolize minerals on certain octaves. The Virginia Beach sand raises your ability to digest gold one octave. Then that, of course, causes you to metabolize quinine, vasopressin. The diamond, being the highest form of mineral for raising consciousness that man has found, it's the philosopher's stone, it's symbolized in metaphysics as the highest consciousness going on the astral plane, raises the body's vibrations to infinity. So with the other one on, the Omega Dome, you can reach infinity. You can be walking through a wall with something like that.
So that's where we're headed. Okay, if you want to know where we're going. Okay, now we have a cruder way of doing that now that we call our systems. What we do is we have what we call systems two. Systems two can be many different things. Number one is, we'll take an ordinary 6, 8, or 10-foot pyramid like we've got here. It's an 8-footer. 8-footer is for a queen-size bed. That works on a queen, single, or a double bed. A 10-footer, like Tom has at his house, goes on a king-size bed. Then we found that if we add a capstone, see, there's a gold capstone up on top of that, right in this area here. And those are pretty expensive because they have a lot of gold on them. But they reflect the apex energy up and then back down, like this. That's the effect. So we have systems 2-1, which has a gold capstone on it, which increases the power of the pyramid about 10 times, sleeping in it.
Meaning that you get about 10 times the calm and the electricity to your body.
Then we put on top of the pyramid a thing called an orb structure. And it's invoked an awful lot of energy having that, because the French government sent people all the way over from France to film it for a TV special. And other networks have been in the house, including UCLA. They use this as a standard of the educational and scholastic programs now, in pyramid energy and the new phenomenon, new age phenomenon. They don't call it, UCLA does not call my work strange or out of text or metaphysical. They call it down-to-earth science of the new age. They're even adopting this book for their textbook over there. So they got it on the wall.
There's a couple of things that I'll reference that are available out there on our booth, which is booth 70 and 69. This is a book that we put together, a little booklet called Facts About the Nuclear Receptor. And this other one, even though it's an operating manual that I did for Dr. Donsbach, this is also includes the hows and whys of negative ionization. And it's pretty much a text on ionization and the effects of the environment. It's like an environmental study taken in part from the Global 2000 report that I was speaking on Friday. And it has a lot of information on general ionization, how it affects the metabolic changes, what to expect when you use an ionizer, because a lot of people have a lot of different things happen to them right away that they're not aware of are coming from the use of ionizers. So I'm going to talk about those kinds of things today. But the first thing I want to start out with is talking about what these things are about that you see at the show. The receptors, the diodes, Flanagan sensor, the pyramids that we used to have, those kinds of things. I haven't spoken on that at one of these conventions in a few years, and I want to kind of update you a little bit, okay? How many of you are aware that the human being has an aura, what is called an aura? Okay. How many of you do not really understand how that aura is produced in the body? Okay, you want me to talk about how that's produced and why and what it does? See, the aura is what we call, the aura gives you what we call coherence. And if your aura is not functioning properly, many, many, many symptoms of diseases will show up. Nervousness, restlessness, all these kinds of things show up. And unfortunately today, we have a thing called electronic smog or electronic pollution. And there are ways whereby we can negate the effects of electronic pollution. We're down to the technological industrial warfare, you might call it, state of being at this point, because all of the technologies, 90% of the technologies that are embracing us today, are in one form or another detrimental to our health, okay? Example of that would be power poles, 60-cycle power lines, and these kinds of things. And also radiation, two cases. One, in 1929, when the Voice of Cincinnati, WLW, went on the air in Cincinnati, Ohio, they had a transmitting power, it's a radio station, of 500,000 watts, a half a megawatt. What they succeeded in doing with this tremendous power was destroying crops, vegetation, animals, and human life within a five-mile radius of the transmitter. So what happened was, this is the first case in American history where the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, came in, passed a ruling on all radio and television stations that they would not have a peak power more than 50,000 watts, or 10 times less than what was happening, because of the devastating effect on human consciousness, okay? Now, the next example would be low frequency, 60 cycles, like we're lighting up here. It's a well-known fact that Nikola Tesla was the one that invented the dynamo, or the ability to transform direct current that Edison was working on into alternating currents so that you could use an inexpensive apparatus and transmit power over long distances. This was financed by J. Pierpont Morgan and George Westinghouse. However, when the Chase Manhattan Bank got involved to make General Electric happen nationwide and distribute this power, Tesla was afraid that it was going to have harmful effects on the body, and he created a better source of power called Earth Resonance Generation, which then was a form of electricity that would light our homes and heat our homes. But the unfortunate problem with that was that the power companies, once an initial installation was put up, could no longer charge a fee for the service. So you didn't see that unless you're a Tesla devotee or someone who has studied hard sciences. You're not aware of these things in science that came along, these new technologies that would replace the technologies that are presently hurting us. So finally, we get up into the 80s, and what's happening is in 1980, in 1982, 83, 84, and in the late 70s, we started coming out in the aquarium movement with devices that Tesla-type people had originally worked on, because the money, you need money to build these things, began to come our way again to finance these kinds of projects. And it's here now. So that's what we need to know about. Secondly, we need to know a little bit about motion. You know, the human body is not a constant. Nothing in the universe is constant. The most consistent thing in the universe that you'll find anywhere is change. The greatest source of distortion to change is resistance, due to some factor in our lives that makes us paranoid or insecure. Lack of knowledge, okay? We were created on this earth to move forward in consciousness and to embrace time and to respect time. Time is here to separate events, not for us to become paranoid about progress, okay? So these are the kinds of things we need to know about. Now we have to look at evolution. Atoms possess consciousness, and when you have atoms in your body, which form molecules and cells and organs, these organs evolve through life experiences. In these life experiences, these atoms register in the mineral kingdom all these events. And when our bodies go back to the soil, this registration is permanently embedded in the Earth's magnetic field. It's like a magnetic imprint, the Earth's aura. Then again, when we take up new babies and we become reborn again in new bodies, this past experience is then released into our consciousness, and we can draw upon it if we are coherent and move ahead in higher consciousness. This is how evolution in the species, any species, works. It's a fact throughout space and throughout time, everywhere. Now we have to look at position. Okay, our Earth, for example, goes around the sun. We have once a year revolution around the sun. We have a moon that goes around the Earth, and we have a cycle there. We have a 30-day cycle as the moon goes around the Earth, which causes changes in consciousness. We have 2 weeks where consciousness is raised. We have 2 weeks where consciousness is lowered. For example, when you go into countries like Turkey and you study old laws that are there, crimes that are committed during a full moon cycle, violent crimes, the courts will have more leniency than when crimes are committed during the new moon cycle, okay? Because other countries have studied culture. Our country is yet a virgin in its study of its own origin and its culture. Most people don't even know their own heredity. So these things are taken into consideration. The same thing would happen in Turkey and Hungary and some of the other countries when they have the witches' winds, the positive ion winds that you hear about, the Fons, the Hamsun. This will elevate crime. So what we have to do is take that in consideration. When biochemistry entered the occult field, we began to make observations biochemically, for example, in urine specimens, of what happens to human urine during a full moon or what happens to human urine during a recessive wind condition. In both cases, the same thing happens. Large amounts of serotonin are found flooded in the urine coming through the body. So the pineal gland becomes very active during this cycle. And when you begin to understand just the lunar cycles, you can see how drugs can have an effect on your body from one period of the moon's position to another. You can see how the effects of tides on the Earth are, and realizing just as the moon affects the water, that our bodies are mostly water, so does the moon affect the water in our bodies. So that's like the first series of cycles. Then you can go into things like circadian rhythms and biological rhythms, where we have a 33-day cycle, a 28-day cycle, and a 30-day cycle. This is one form of making a position or an observation of where we are with our universe. Even though man is, in fact, the universe, in fact, is of man, and there is a tremendous correlation between the two. The Earth should be treated just like a baby. It should be nurtured and respected, and then the Earth will give feedback in life. But we have a failure to do that. Now, the next thing that happens is the Earth and the Moon go around the Sun. This takes about a year, about 365 days. During this time, we have four seasons. So what happens is we go around and we have four different seasons. We have a growing period and a mating period in the spring, which you can see how animals and people behave. You can see a summer cycle, and you can see a winter cycle, a period of rest, and then the beginning, the new building again. The spring cycle starts again, the fall, autumn, all of those things. Now what happens is we have another cycle. This is called the precession of the equinoxes. This is a greater cycle where we go around still another sun up in the Pleiades. It talks about it in the Bible. We hear about the sweet influence of the Pleiades, all of these different biblical tests attest to that. And what happens is, this takes 25,827.5 years, this rotation, right? Now what happens is, we have 12,500 years approximately of darkness, and we have 12,500 years of light. We're now coming out of a period of renaissance or darkness into a period of light. When, in fact, we go through this cycle, it then makes it possible for the consciousness within our atoms to become illuminated. And we, in turn, become illuminated. And as you can see in the last 100 years, our science spreads, our spiritual energy starts to spread, build, and grow. And we go through, of course, a period of stupidity like we're going through now before we come into a millennium of the golden existence. But right now, we've got to realize that we're coming through this period of stupidity. Okay, and ignorance is predominant now more than truth. During this time, there are sub-cycles of 2,500 years, and they are given ages. Aquarian Age, Piscean Age, Taurian Age, Aryan Age, all of these kinds of things. These ages talk about the seasoning of consciousness, the seasoning of human actions. And once during this revolutionary period, when we reach the migratory part, the absolute peak, approximately 144,000 souls leave this solar system and move out into space and go out and go into the heavens, into other celestial places. And when this period takes place, the ones that stay behind, which are called the recorders, you know, there's many different names. The Egyptians had names for them. The scribes, they called them. They then, in stone or other manners, like in Tibet, they do it on all old papyruses, record these events, and great record-keeping begins to take place. For example, when the libraries of Alexandria were burned, the White Brotherhood came in and removed certain records, which were then moved back to Tibet. On Easter Island, things were recorded. Arik von Doniger made a tremendous study of this. And when you begin to see the specter of the beauty and existence and joy of life on a tremendous, on a heavenly level, on a celestial level, then you really begin to understand what's going on here now. Now, our bodies at this point in time are trying to evolve, because to be able, as we move out into this higher realm of light, we begin to get the influence of other stars. Okay? The influence causes, for example, hormonal changes to begin to change their entire characteristical patterns in the body. For example, first, we are minerals. Our body is 5% minerals, right? The minerals then require enzymes for assimilation. Enzymes deal with what's called pH, potential hydrogen, the pH factor. When the pH factor is balanced, the minerals move into enzymes and then go on in, and we have vitamin assimilation. Vitamins become predominant in the body. Vitamins polarize light to the right or to the left, primarily in human beings, to the left. That's where the word lava comes from, lava rotary. In Laya Trail, for example, that term was coined. Then what happens is, the vitamins with the light polarized split in two different directions, the energy fields, and produce a left and right mirror of amino acids, which then reflect upon consciousness, producing hormones as we know them. As we evolve in consciousness, and we don't do things like we do to block this growth of hormone structure in our body, what happens is the hormones allow us to go into what's called higher consciousness or the altered state. Some people today will demonstrate that because they have been able to put this balance together to maintain this balance. And that's why we have life extension. That's why we have people like Sai Baba doing what he does. That's why Uri Geller can do what he does. That's why other people, you know, walk on the hot coals like Vernon Craig. And there's a million little things that are nothing more than teasing demonstrations to demonstrate, in fact, there is a higher dynamic working within all of us, that if we allow it to, it will automatically release this higher consciousness. Science fiction, in fact, becomes science fact. That's why we're seeing today Wonder Woman, Superman, and all these kinds of things. So what we have done in health energy sciences and paradigm before that is we have developed technologies whereby we can allow our bodies to grow ahead without the interference of electronic smog, air pollution. Like right now, I'm sure you're breathing 2,000 different chemicals in this very room. You've probably eaten so much poison, the water in Pasadena is the worst ever. I've never seen such bad water, and on and on and on. And this has a negating effect on the body, okay? So a few years ago, Kurt Donsbach came to me, and he asked me to develop something that was better than the pyramid. He said, you know, the pyramid is great, I believe in it, but it's the most ridiculous thing to most people when you wear it. It freaks people out because they don't understand it, you know? Religions look at it as some kind of satanic tool. Other people look at it as a nuisance. When they bend over, it falls off. So he says, develop something that will work on the body radionically that won't harm you or offend people. So that's how the receptor came about. So what we did is we took a design. First of all, we had to take a collecting dish, because everywhere in this room right now, there is microwave radiation. And that comes into your bodies, and the first thing it does is it destroys the pH factor of your body, the potential hydrogen factor. Because if you look at the atomic level, for example, if you look at a hydrogen atom, we have a proton here, we have an electron right here. It goes around approximately what's called the speed of light, okay? Energy moves in constantly from another dimension, okay? It moves in. This is called the Niels Bohr effect. It's called quantum mechanics in physics. It comes in the green spectrum and moves towards red in the center of the atom and violet in the outside of the atom. The entire study of radionics is the science whereby equipment is built to address this receiving part of the atom at this exact point. Radionic equipment will tune up the receptivity of an atom towards the red or towards the violet, depending on whether a person is suffering in a particular color band of frequencies, okay? Red and white here, red, green, blue, and down violet and brown in the center. That's the way our bodies work. So if we have problems somewhere in the body, we can immediately go to the zone of the body and look at the color factor that's there, radionically then make the adjustments. Then what happens is homeopathic medicine comes in next. Homeopathic medicine is very simple. We look at, before we become a cell, well, first, once again, we're atoms, right? At the moment that the atom becomes a molecule, and a molecule is the smallest form of energy having a chemical characteristic, at that exact moment is when homeopathic medicine goes to work, because all of the atoms in the body, all of the cells in the body, have a small mineral content, because minerals are reflecting light down into lower frequencies to form mitochondrion and all the other kinds of things that are inside of a cell. So homeopathic works with radionics. Radionics sets up the environment and directs it, and the homeopathic remedy then manifests. And you can see other booths out here with electroacupuncture machines, computer control now, with different little wells and samples for witnesses that the homeopathic treatments work in, okay? So this is another area of science that I work with. Upstairs in room 302, you'll see our laser shows. A laser is quite interesting in the fact that it works, once again, right in this region. Because if you study how a plant, for example, behaves, a plant likes to take white sunlight. It takes the white sunlight and separates it immediately into the green. It absorbs the green out into the magnesium atom in the center of chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is the blood of plants. It also becomes the blood of man. Chlorophyll and hemoglobin are almost the same, with the exception that hemoglobin, the red blood cell in man, has an iron atom in its center, where chlorophyll has a magnesium atom in its center. If you look at the geometry of a magnesium atom, it is a three-sided pyramid or a tetrahedron. If you look at an iron atom, it is a four-sided pyramid or an octahedron, okay? So this is where now shape, matrix shape, begins to make the determination of how we utilize this green light coming in. Then man eats the plant, right? Man eats the plant, digests the plant, and forms ATP inside the cells. Then man, through the Krebs cycle, takes this green energy from the sunlight and separates it into sugar molecules, 5-carbon atom sugar molecules, which then gives the cell energy to continue the reflective action of the minerals. Okay? So you begin to see now how the body works. At this point, we're addressing what's called the pH, or potential hydrogen factor within the body. Okay? We're looking directly at this. What a laser does is very simple. A laser has inside of it a white light source like the sun. A white light source has all color energies in it. The white light source flashes inside of a laser, emitting and absorbing the green energy. Then what happens is the green energy that is absorbed from the white light, just like the photosynthesis of the sun, then emits one of 7 different colors depending on how the laser is tuned and what gas is in it. So what happens is when you use the laser in your room or in your homes in the healing aspect, you are getting the direct benefit of one of those colors, and it will work into your body. The next thing that we do is we develop receptor-type devices, or devices that will take and make it more possible to easily metabolize this coherent light and use it within our cellular structure. And that's what the scanners and the other things that we've developed are all about. So you begin to see how all this stuff, we talk about holistic health, is starting to get exciting now. We're coming up on the edge of something really exciting. So what we did in the receptor, going back to the receptor, is we had to address the pH factor in the body first with microwave energy, right? Realize we're getting bombarded. So what we did is we chose the pyramid shape, the 4-sided pyramid, not a 3-sided pyramid, because we weren't building these for animals or plants. We were designing these for human beings. And so we put 144 of these little pyramids inside what's called a concave dish, okay? A concave dish is a dish that is slightly spherical, but not totally. And what that does is it will take energy or radiations coming from any angle at any point in time and reflect those energies down on these pyramid filters that are sitting in 144 different locations. Now, the next thing we had to do is we had to process that energy. We had to make it conform to the human growth cycle. This is where we get into the study of mathematics called Fibonacci, or phi series. For example, if you look at a pine cone or a rose, you will see 2 petals and then another ring of 3. Then you'll see 2 plus 3 in the third ring, 5. And then in the fourth ring, you'll see 3 plus 5, 8, and so on. This mathematically builds up in a snail, a rose, a pine cone, or anything that's living. So we did the same thing. We arranged these little traps, these little processing pyramids, in what is known as a Fibonacci ring. This then meant that the antenna system itself was broad spectrum at this point, could receive any form of energy that had any kind of transformation factor, and then it would always, because it was like this, it was acting like a lens. It would receive anywhere outwardly, but it would only center itself in a focal point in the center. So we built a bridge. We found the focal point, and we built a bridge. Then what we did is we now wanted to refine this energy. We had it in the right vibratory frequency now, but it wasn't refined. Companies like IBM were at this point getting involved with these kinds of projects. One was called the SQUID project. The Maser amplifier, which was used in radio telescopes at this point, was doing the same thing. So it wasn't like we were doing something unique. Several other firms, several years ago, had been developing on similar types of devices, which you probably never heard about unless you were reading Scientific American or you were abreast of science. So what we did now is we did something the ancients did. We put a gemstone, 1 of 7 different gems, located at this point, and that became like a diode. So you can go out and you'll see diodes out there. This acts as a diode. Different gemstones now will filter all of this energy into one frequency. The frequency of the green, for example, is that of the emerald, and it goes to the thyroid gland. So then what happens, we focus the energy back through a small hole in the back of the device.
Hello. Yeah, we're turning that tape over now, and hopefully that's something on the other side of it. I'm not sure.
Now,
there we go.
Let's look at the human aura field for a second and see what that means to consciousness.
Let me tap that tape and see if I can get it to free up a little bit.
How an aura is formed. We metabolize minerals, right? Once again, in the brain, minerals are present.
Looking at a wire, let's look at a wire. You take a piece of wire, right? Here's a piece of wire. Okay, I hook a battery, a positive terminal here, a negative terminal here, right? What happens is electricity will move from the negative to the positive, right? When electricity moves through a wire, you always get what at right angles? Anybody know? What do you get at right angles? What? Magnetism, exactly. Now, look at the human body. Human body has a sodium potassium with a lecithin covering, little wire, has a little gate called a node of Ranier, another little sodium potassium wire, another little gate, and another one like that. And what happens is an electrical pulse will generate itself or originate itself in the colon or the brain, and electricity moves at 200 miles an hour typically down through this wire, being amplified in these different little modes, these nodes. Okay? When electricity moves through a wire in the body called an axon, you have magnetism at right angles. Okay? Now, all of these little nodes of Ranier that are located within the human body are all connected to certain vital transmitters within our central nervous system, primarily in receivers called the parasympathetic nervous network or the psychic aerial within the body. The psychic aerial in the body is then tuned very finely to the exact point whereby energy comes from inner dimensions, inner planes, and enters the green spectrum of the atoms in the body. And this is a very fine balance. It's very delicate. So what happens is, this then, if you have a human being with a head up here and a body like this and legs here, you'll have an aura field or an electronic field of electromagnetic energies that will change into one of seven different vibrations depending on the time of day it is, what kind of nutrients are in your body, what kind of stress is in your body, what is going on in your environment, and the person will be said to exist or manifest a certain color, because color frequencies are nothing more than more subtle, more refined frequencies of electromagnetism. So that's where the aura begins to originate. What devices do, like the receptor, is that they will tune in to a particular point in the body that's weak, because all of us have weaknesses. For example, if we're a person that looks at a computer all day long, right, or a television set, we're getting lots of gamma rays, right? Lots of x-rays. So what do? They burn out the violet part of our body and start moving like a giant Clorox of light through, and they actually sterilize our entire bodies. For example, a lot of people, when I worked in the Air Force with radar, would get too close to certain parts of the radar set and they'd be sterilized, right? They couldn't have kids anymore. Same thing. So when a person has been around that kind of environment, then what we do is we'll muscle test or we'll check them out and find out what the weaker organ is, and we'll put a strengthening energy field back on that weak link, and that in turn causes the body to get stronger. Now, let's look at that again on another level, on what's called the DNA level. The DNA is a series of phosphates and sugars that looks like a ladder inside of every cell. Okay? And realize the first thing that's going wrong in our society right now is our ozone layer is being depleted, which is causing large amounts of ultraviolet to come into our bodies, which is shortening our lifespans by destroying the 12 billion nucleotide and nucleonic acids that are located and make up the DNA structure. Okay? As soon as that happens, then the chromosomes, which are within the DNA, and each person has 1,250 chromosomes, they are acting like spacing insulators. They are then influenced and hurt. And as a result, you start getting a degrading or a negative effect on consciousness. Examples of that are higher birth defects, AIDS, herpes, all the diseases that start to manifest. They've always been there, but now they're being keyed, they're being actuated because of the gradual destruction of our immunological systems within our body. Okay? When you're born, you have, just before you're born, you have 48 base pair per turns of DNA. At the moment that the baby comes out of the mother and takes its first first breath, DNA switches to 34 base pair turns. Okay? Now what happens is, as we get to 30, we're down to 16 base pairs per turn. So you now begin to see that the cell is no longer getting a full set of instructions. It no longer reproduces fully, and we begin to lose our clarity. As we begin to lose our clarity, our minds are not functioning, our memory is spontaneous recall of an event, and that if that isn't working, you start to lose your memory, and all these other things start to manifest. Until you get to age 50, when you've got approximately 6 base pair turns per DNA. What we have found is the use of radionic devices such as the receptor, laser light, will in fact begin to repair the DNA because of the stress alleviation factor, and the DNA begins to lengthen itself and get longer again. Now, this work was first done publicly in this country and demonstrated by Gianni Dotto about 20, 30 years ago. But it became illegal to do that and present this publicly because when you demonstrate this kind of life extension, the first thing that happened, he did, he eliminated cancer with what was called the Dotto ring. And when you demonstrate that, you become a threat to sociological systems that are based upon the enhancement of the decay, rapid decay of our bodies. The same thing happened to the biochemical finds like DHEA that were made parallel to this work, and these things began to disappear. So what we've had to do is very quietly bring these devices back on. At first, of course, the establishments began to attack the inventors, imprison the inventors, but gradually too many things began to appear that the establishment could no longer deal and just had to pretend that this wasn't happening. Okay? That's kind of where we're at now. The establishment, and then the establishment began to get into it because major firms like IBM began to develop projects like the receptor. They call this program the Squid Program at IBM. So there's different firms now that are very active with it. Okay? Now, I'll get off this for a few seconds. I want to talk about negative ionization and how that works and how that will enhance this. This entire biological process requires electricity. Okay? Electricity comes into our bodies, and our bodies reproduce cells at the rate of 50 million per second if we're happy, if we're feeling good. But typically what happens is our bodies aren't happy. You know, we go down to the seashore, for example, and we get charged up on negative ionization and get motivated. And then what happens is we go to the department store or the grocery store, and there's no negative ions, they're all positive ions, and we're demotivated real fast. We can't wait to get out. We feel closed in. Worldwide, we had negative ionization. We would measure it in ratios. The ratio was 1.2 to 1 positive ions to negative ions to make a human cell behave properly. But what happened was, over time, we began to put more smog, more pollution into our environment. And high, for example, in the Global 2000 report, it talks about the effects of high altitude aircraft flights. And we began to put more diesels on the road, which produce acrolein, which destroy our negative ion balance. So that worldwide, we began to lower this ratio from 1.2 to 1 to 1.2 to something like minus 1. The first thing that happened was in Tokyo, Japan, a few years ago, we had an epidemic or an air pollution disaster that killed thousands of people, and they measured 3,500 positive ions to 1,000 negative ions. So as a result, science began to do studies on this, and they found that any time the ratio went to 3.5 positive to 1 negative, human beings began to die because they were being flooded by serotonin levels in their body. Okay? The next thing that happened was I started lecturing in the 70s on negative ionization along with pyramid energy, and I was totally thought of as some kind of a nut because I was bringing the European work over here and quoting it and sharing it with everybody. But by the time the end of the 70s came, people didn't think I was so crazy because all the ionizers began to hit the scene. But the problem was the people that were producing the ionizers were doing it behind the wake of someone that was talking about ionization and not how to build ion machines. So in 1980, I came into the field of building ion machines because I began to see there was problems with dirt on the walls, ozone, shocking, and all kinds of other things, side effects, built by inferior machines that were really hurting the work and the truth that we were trying to demonstrate in the ion field and the ion work. Now what we've done is we've actually combined ionization with radionics, which is even more exciting. But what's really important with negative ionization is that when you breathe in and take a breath, there are millions of little cilia, little hairs in your lungs that if you're not around negative ionization, are laying down in a bed of mucus. When you breathe in a negative ion, these little hairs, it's like When you comb your hair on a dry day, you see it stand up? Well, the ion dries out the mucus in the body very rapidly, causes these little hairs to stand up and start vibrating at approximately 60 to 120 hertz. When these little hairs vibrate, it sends electricity from the air down into the mitochondria of every single cell in your body instantly. Okay? The average person using properly applied negative ionization, meaning an ion pump that gets it to your lungs, will get 400% more oxygen delivery within 5 minutes in a room with proper ionization than they had before. 400%. Now, how many bottles of B15 would you have to take a day to get 400% more oxygen to your brain? How much vitamin E would you have to take to destroy cross-linking and free radicals that ionization would enhance? So what you do is you understand and use the proper kinds of ionizers, not these little things that, a little black box with a thing in it. Those don't work like the new technology we use, filtering. The first thing you do when you ionize air is you've got to clean it first. You don't throw an ion out in the smog. That's as bad as saying, go in your garage, start your cars, stick your nose up your exhaust pipe, and turn on an oxygen mask. What's the difference? You're mixing. When you do that, you're taking oxygen into your body, and that makes you more exposed, more susceptible to the carbon monoxide coming out of the exhaust pipe. So what we did is we developed filtering systems first. We would use electrostatic filters, grids. Then the next thing, I saw a couple companies come out with that, and they didn't use the proper voltages. You've got to run 30,000 volts or more and do it in a vacuum. It has to be done in a vacuum. So one of the things we did in our ion generator, for example, we created a chamber. The dirtier the filters got, the more efficient it became because the vacuum became greater. So now the machine was self-regulating. This is the technology that I began to bring out and work on with my engineers. Now when the air is cleaned and there's no more dirt and viruses in it, now you put the negative ions in. Well, this will eliminate immediately dirt on the walls. But still we had a problem with shocking in ionizers. So we finally found out that the emitter was not the way to go, the needle, and we completely eliminated needles. We went to a silver fabric, a special fabric that was treated. It was like a piece of cloth, and the ions would not come in a steady stream. They would come in a cloud. So as a result, you've got a much softer feeling or cloud. This, then, is something the body can utilize and put down into the lungs. It will go into the lungs, not on the wall, and as a result, you don't see dirt on the walls. These are the kinds of things that we got into. Then we were able to go further with it and go into aerosols and aeration, because we found that if you would take an electrostatic ionizer and go to the back pre-filter and put methylatum oil in it or perfumes in it, the ionizer would burst that into much smaller particles, and if you had a cough or a congestion or a cold, it was much better than the old vaporizers, and you can immediately aerate all of the mitochondria in your cells with methylatum or eucalyptus oil. So that was the next phase of our development. So now you're beginning to understand a little bit about the technologies that we're sharing with you at these different federations and what we're really all about and why we're different than a lot of other folks out there. And I wanted you to know that today. Now, we're getting towards the close of the lecture, so I have a little bit of time for questions if there are any. Yeah. You have a question? How can you test your ion machine? There's a company called Biotronics up in Canada that makes a ion tester. Ron Watson out here has one in the back over here with that booth that he's with that is doing the aura pictures. That's the best machine. That's what we use. You can buy instrumentation that will measure the cloud, the particle, and the dispersion. The big thing about an ionizer is not to measure 2 or 3 feet away from it what it's doing. It doesn't tell you anything. The big thing with an ionizer is to get 15 or 20 or 30 feet away and measure it. Because who walks around, you know, like this around their ionizer all day long? It's impractical. So make your measurements at least 15, 20, 25 feet away or in the next room. That's why we put fans in our machines, because once we get the clouds built, then you have to blow them into the other room. It's very necessary. If you don't have a fan with an ionizer, it isn't going to go anywhere. Okay? Question. How would you do that? I would take them to a laboratory. We go to the UCI or the independent laboratory in Tustin. That's where we go. Yeah. One run by a friend of mine by the name of Norm Hayes. What's what? Sure. Question was, how would you get an ionizer tested? If you don't believe in what the ionizer is doing, I would answer to take it to a laboratory and have it tested where they can test those things. Yeah. We have them on our booths out here. Our ionizers, my designer, are on several different booths out there. It's just not ones that, you know, I've licensed the thing out to lots of people. They're out there. Anything with fans in it and electronic filters. Okay. Other questions? Okay, now I'm going to talk about lasers a little bit then, because I've got a few more minutes here. Because you're going to see more and more of them. You're going to see them used for weapons, and you're going to see them used for healing. The healing systems of the 80 are going to use lasers and crystals. Sunlight comes to us and goes into chlorophyll through green, through the emerald. That's why the plants are green in the animal kingdom. Our bodies then transmute the green chlorophyll atom. And realize also that the chlorophyll atom and the red blood cell are basically the same in structure, with the exception that we have four pyramid iron atoms in hemoglobin and four magnesium atoms in chlorophyll. The body then takes the food and breaks it down into simple sugars and starches, and then stores ATP from the plant in each individual cell. Stress, radionic stress, not positive but negative radionic stress, radiation, any of these forms of things destroy the cell's ability to release the ATP into the body properly. And we start having diabetics, and we see these sugar-related diseases, low energy and assimilation powers and hypoglycemia and all these stupid things that happen. Okay? Now, what we found with lasers is this. If you take a ruby laser, for example, this works with all of the lasers, but we use helium neon. The one out there at my booth is a ruby. It's a helium neon type. We put a white light source up like the sun. It's very bright. It's called a flash tube. Down inside are layers of protons and electrons. They look like hydrogen atoms. Okay? What happens is we flash this real intense light onto this rod that has ruby, let's say, in a solid ruby, the old-fashioned lasers. Then what happens is the laser only absorbs the green, the emerald ray, from the seven colors it's being pumped with. All lasers absorb the green ray. This then works directly on the electron-proton relationship within the device, pushing the electron way out here like this. Pushes it way out there like that. Well, it's like stretching a rubber band. You can only stretch a rubber band so far, and it's going to pull back again or break. In this case, it pulls back, and in the process of pulling back to its original orbital size, releases spontaneously waves of photons. Depending on the type of gas in this tube, these photons are released coherently, all in phase, just like sunlight. Okay, like if you took a prism and held it in front of the sun, you would see this. Inside the tube are two mirrors, the optics part. And so these photons go back and forth, and they come out here at a high rate of speed, an incredible rate of speed, coherently, with very low angles of divergence, very concentrated. Okay? This is how a laser works. Now, if you look at the phenomenon of what's happening, you're actually getting what is called a green shift in quantum mechanics. The same thing that happens when the sun goes down. The moment the sun goes down, in radionics, as I do a lot of radionics work, the moment the sun goes down, a green ray is always seen. It's called the green shift at sundown. Those of you that have ever been to sunsets will know about this phenomenon. This is the same thing happening on a miniature level. This is the healing force coming from the sun directly to our bodies. And it's actually visual as the planet and the sun are just on the horizon together. You can actually see it. In radionics, what happens is as soon as the sun disappears, the polarity is reversed and goes in the other direction. So if we're treating a person with a certain problem with a homeopathic remedy and then transmitting out the treatment, that remedy is usually changed at sunset to another remedy or turned around in the little box that it's in, okay, to compensate for that. But in the laser, we have the same phenomenon. It's a healing force. So what we're doing now is we're running the lasers into crystals. Crystal is a piezoelectric force. It releases electricity and radiation. And what happens is the crystal can be modulated. So the laser light then modulates the crystal. The crystal is then placed in a radionic chamber, like those two that are out at my booth, and that transmits the energy directly into your body. And the healing power is awesome from one of those kinds of systems, because the antenna system typically will have a 10 or 20,000 volt charge on it from an ionizer. It'll have a pyramid grid matrix to transfer the energy to your body, because pyramids do that. It'll have a large crystal in it, and it'll be shot simultaneously by a laser. You can rub your hands together and hold it underneath it, and you'll feel heat coming from it.
And we use different crystals, different color crystals, to perform the same functions as we do in here. That's one application of what we're doing with this type of healing. You can take an open lesion and it heals very fast, especially if you take a little extra vitamin D and a little vitamin A with it. Okay. So there's so much going on in research now where we're combining ionization, lasers, crystals, pyramids, and synergism. And we're coming into the 80s now with this combination and the awareness of how to use it. So anyhow, we're just about out of time. I'm going to go back to my booth if there aren't any more questions. Are there any other questions here? Yeah. Right. We do different colors with gas, you know, different gases. We use a helium neon, okay, for red. We use helium cadmium for violet, and we use argon for green. And now I'm working with some, you know, rock groups. Well, one of them is the Moody Blues, and we're designing color shows to become synchronous with their music, so that when they do a concert, the color will be totally in harmony with the chords, which are in harmony with the endocrine system in the body. And on top of that, we're talking to some other groups about using this type of device, a modification of this, so that the audience can actually feel and experience the music and the colors, as well as just listen to it. You know, I mean, the musical concerts to me are an experience of feeling, but this, it's going to get a lot more intense. You know, I actually see in the next, you know, 15, 20 years, superphysical consciousness here. And, you know, like when I was a kid in the 40s, I used to have this television set. It had a 1-inch screen on it, right? But I used to, even on that, watch science fiction, right? Man going to the moon. In the 60s, I was part of the moon.
Well, we had to stop that because we went over about 3 minutes, so make up for the shortness of last week.